Now it's question number three. How far is it right to say that the underlying idea of the tempest is cheerfulness under calamity? A serious and somber play. Cheerfulness under calamity is certainly not the message of the play, The Tempest. It's only a superficial reading of the play which would induce a reader to affirm that the play teaches the lesson of cheerfulness even under adverse circumstances. In the first place, there is not much of cheerfulness in the play, and secondly, there is a preponderance of serious and somber elements. At certain points, the play even verges on tragedy. The feelings of cheerfulness in a number of situations. Let's first take a look at the situations which seem to convey to us the lesson of cheerfulness under calamity. In the very opening scene, we find the boatswain fighting against the storm with great courage and fortitude, and speaking words of cheer to his sailors. The boatswain is of course not feeling either panicky or distressed by the storm which threatens to wreck the ship. He is giving instruction to the three sailors in his effort to save the sea from getting wrecked. And he is doing so without any fear in his heart. At the same time, it is noteworthy that his cheerfulness is a shower or solemn kind. When approached by the distinguished passengers, he speaks to them most rudely, asking them not to interrupt him in his work and go back to their cabins. Thus, at the back of his mind, the feelings of uneasiness is there, cannot be denied. Then there are passengers, some of whom are certainly not scared by the storm. The king and his son are no doubt feeling somewhat afraid of the fury of the storm and have started praying to God for mercy. But the other passengers are not so frightened. Gonzalo seems to be the least afraid by the storm, and Antonio and Sebastian too remain unafraid. Gonzalo even makes jokes about the boatswain's rudeness towards him and the others, and there is certainly no elements of fear in his jovial remarks. As for Antonio and Sebastian, they think that death is near and they get ready to die without any signs of fear and even nervousness. The other passengers were unimportant from our point of view, maybe feeling afraid of what might happen to the ship. But on the whole, the feeling of cheerfulness among the passengers prevails over the feelings of fear. Then there is the cheerfulness which Ferdinand and Miranda experience when they declare their love for each other. The scene of courtship between them is certainly full of joy and happiness. True lovers always feel happy when they are together. No matter what the difficulties which they are facing, Ferdinand is undergoing the labor of peeling of the logs, but he does not feel depressed or dejected by the labor because the maiden with whom he has fallen in love is nearby, because she too has fallen in love with him. The joy and happiness of the lovers reach their climax in the scene which Prospero provides entertainment to them by means of a pastoral mosque. Then, of course, there is the feeling of cheerfulness and even gaiety among the persons concerned at the close of the play, when Prospero has forgiven all the evildoers and when preparations are being made for the voyage back home. Gonzalo's superficial cheerfulness. Thus, there certainly is element of cheerfulness and even joy in the play, but his cheerfulness is pushed into the background and even swamped by the serious and somber elements. After the storm, when Alonso and his companions find themselves in a desolate island, Alonso is feeling most miserable because Ferdinand is believed to have perished in the sea during the storm. Gonzalo at this time is certainly in his normal mood of cheerfulness and is trying to comfort and console Alonso. But Gonzalo is cheerful because he has suffered no personal injury or loss, and because it is easy to speak words to comfort to others who have suffered a loss. Whatever cheerfulness Gonzalo possesses breaks down under the stress of real misfortune. When Gonzalo finds himself a prisoner along with the others in the lime grove, he too begins to feel miserable. In fact, he feels even more miserable than the others. And Ariel then reports to Prospero that tears of distress have been flowing from the old lord's eyes. Later, of course, Gonzalo once again becomes cheerful when he is welcomed heartily by Prospero who expresses his gratitude to the old lord for the kindness which Prospero had received from him 12 years ago. The tremendous misery and suffering of Alonso. Alonso is the man who suffers most in the course of the play and whose misery is almost indescribable. At the very outset, when he thinks that his son Ferdinand had got drowned in the sea, he feels almost heartbroken. Words of comfort from Gonzalo and Francisco prove of no avail. In fact, he feels irritated by the words of comfort spoken by this man, so that he expresses his reaction in the following words. "You cram those words into my ears against the stomach of my sins." True, Francisco assumes that Ferdinand might still be alive and safe. Alonso replies, "No, no, he's gone." When Sebastian says that Alonso is himself responsible for the misfortune which has overtaken him, Alonso replies, "Prithi, peace." In other words, Alonso continues to feel disconsolate. Later, when banquet is mysteriously laid before Alonso by the strange shapes, and when with the appearance of a harpy and banquet disappears, Alonso is the person most affected by the baffling phenomenon. When the harpy denounces the three men of sin, of whom Alonso is one, Alonso again is the man who feels more bewildered and dismayed than anybody else. Once again, he is the man who feels most distressed, dejected, and crestfallen when Prospero himself appears and reminds the three evildoers of the crime which they had committed against him and his little daughter Miranda. Indeed, Alonso now becomes a tragic figure. He thinks that he has lost his son, he has been denounced by a harpy, he has been told by the harpy that his son had been taken away from him because of his crime against Prospero. He is indicated by Prospero himself. He feels mystified when Prospero claims to be the original Duke of Milan, and when he tells Alonso and the others that he is actually the original Prospero and not a phantom. The continuing misery and the wretchedness of Alonso suddenly introduced into the play a strong note of sorrow and grief. Alonso's sorrow and grief appear to us to be all the greater because the real criminal, namely Antonio, who had initiated the conspiracy against Prospero, is not being punished as much as Alonso. It's when Alonso sees his son alive and happy in the company of damsel that his grief comes to an end and he begins to think himself a fortunate person. Miranda's uneasiness and Ferdinand's unhappiness. We have noted above the cheerfulness of Ferdinand and Miranda, but even the cheerfulness is not perfect in the beginning. This cheerfulness becomes perfect only when Prospero assures Ferdinand that he has passed the test and that Ferdinand now deserves the hand of Miranda in marriage. But before that, Ferdinand and Miranda feel uncertain and uneasy. Miranda finds her father too harsh towards Ferdinand, who appears to her to be the very perfection of manhood. When she tries to speak to her father, Ferdinand's behalf, her father feels annoyed and snobs her. When Ferdinand refuses to comply with Prospero's orders, Ferdinand is rendered helpless and ineffective by Prospero's supernatural powers. Then Ferdinand feels unhappy because he has been subjected to a degrading kind of labor. It is true that the nearness of Miranda consoles him, but Ferdinand's unhappiness at this time cannot be denied. In fact, Ferdinand had been feeling unhappy even before he met Miranda. He had found himself all alone on the uninhabited island, and he had thought that his father and his father's companion had perished in the sea during the storm. At that time, Ferdinand had been lamenting the supposed death of his father. At that time, Ferdinand's condition was indeed pitiable. Ferdinand's sense of bereavement at that time was very deep indeed. Ariel's past suffering and present state of servitude. We must take into account that the state of mind of Ariel at the outset, when he comes and reports to Prospero how he had caused a storm on the sea and then carried out Prospero's other instructions as well. When Prospero expresses his satisfaction at Ariel's performance, Ariel asks for his freedom. And here we are given a detailed account of Ariel's past sufferings. Prospero reminds Ariel of the wish she corrects a savage treatment of him. Being a delicate spirit of the era, Ariel had refused to carry out the gross and earthy commands of Sycorax. Whereupon she had imprisoned him in a cloven pine tree. There Ariel had remained, hauling in pain and agony for a number of years before Prospero was able to release him by supernatural powers. Ariel's own supernatural powers had proved unavailing in the face of Sycorax's greater powers, and Prospero's supernatural powers had then proved greater even than Sycorax's power. Thus, the past history of Ariel comes as a shock to us. But even now, he is not his own master. Now, he is under a commitment to serve Prospero for a number of years as the price of his release from this cloven tree. Thus, when the play opens, we find Ariel in a state of slavery to Prospero, and his slavery continues till the end of the play. Prospero sets Ariel free only when he is himself about to quit the island. The discontent of Caliban. Nor we can ignore the case of Caliban. Caliban is half human and half beast. He is the bastard son of Sycorax by devil. He is indeed a monster, but even he excites some of our sympathy when he speaks to Prospero of his grievances. He says that originally he was the master of the island, which he had inherited from his mother Sycorax. Then Prospero had arrived on the island, and in the beginning even Prospero had been very kind towards him. In course of time, however, Caliban began to be treated by Prospero as a hard-worked slave. Now, Caliban had been confined to a rock and is not allowed to roam over the island freely. However, our sympathy for Caliban melts away as soon as we learn that Prospero had hardened towards Caliban because Caliban had tried to violate the honor of Miranda. Caliban is certainly a devil, but there is undeniably a touch of pathos in Shakespeare's portrayal of him. The cheerfulness of the villains, no cause for us to feel cheerful. Sebastian Antonio remains cheerful throughout the play, but their cheerfulness can certainly not serve as a source of inspiration to us because they are both villains. But these men are insensitive and thick-skinned. Antonio had exposed his own brother and his own brother's little daughter to the dangers of the sea and the sky, and had at that time expelled all the feelings of sympathy and compassion from his breast. On the island, Antonio continues to be villain because here he instigates Sebastian to kill his brother Alonso, who lies asleep. Sebastian promptly responds to Antonio's suggestion, and the two men would certainly have killed both Alonso and Gonzalo if their plan had not been foiled by Ariel's invisible intervention. If such villains feel cheerful, we do not envy them, and therefore their cheerfulness doesn't have any positive significance. Prospero's first misfortunes. On the whole, then, The Tempest is not a cheerful or cheering play. It has tragic overtones. When Prospero gives Miranda an account of his past life, there is tragedy enough in it. These misfortunes portend no doubt to the past, but these misfortunes overshadow the whole play. Indeed, Prospero's account of the manner in which he and Miranda had been treated by his brother Antonio and by King Alonso and Sebastian is painful to us and may even draw tears from the eyes of sensitive readers. Even at the end, when Prospero has forgiven all his enemies, we find that Sebastian and Antonio show no signs of any regret or repentance over their actions of the past. The dukedom which Prospero had lost as a result of Antonio's treachery is certainly restored to him, but what Prospero must have gone through on the island during 12 years of his stay here, as also the life of isolation when Miranda has laid here, are certainly no cause for happiness.